This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Congressman Paul Ryan is the feature attraction at the Republican National Convention tonight down in Tampa Bay. It's his acceptance of the vice presidential nomination, of course. And the optics, as the pundits like to say, are going to be tricky. How to capitalize politically while Isaac is stuck over New Orleans. But once that's taken care of, it's a safe bet the speech is going to be reliably economic. Medicare, the budget, and what voters and this economy will get from a Romney administration. Just east of Tampa, the corridor along Interstate 4. Voters want recovery. They want the economy the way it used to be. Marketplace's David Gura took a little road trip along I-4 not too long ago. And today, in the second of two stories for our coverage of what really matters in this election, the real economy, we're calling it, the town of Port Orange, Florida, and a lesson in being careful what you wish for.
Perhaps no one knows the story of Port Orange better than Alan Green. He's lived in the city just south of Daytona Beach for all of his 73 years. And for many of them, he's been the city's mayor. A few feet from the banks of the Halifax River, Green remembers the Port Orange of his youth. There was a cluster of buildings here, and many of them were oyster houses.
Oysters were everything. They built roadways out of them. There was a lot of shrimpers. There were fishermen. They were that type of people. They were just working class people.
Today, the population of Port Orange is 50 times bigger than it was when Green was a kid. In many ways, it's emblematic of small cities across Florida that embraced growth and development over the last decade. In the case of Port Orange, much of its growth happened after a string of hurricanes hit the region in 2004 and 2005.
What were things like around here then? I mean, how dramatic?
Before the rockets started falling, everybody got greedy. It really did. After the hurricanes, you had that insurance money flowing, you had the economy flowing, and they bought land, overpriced land, condominiums, everybody had multiple homes.
Mayor Green is fit with a deep tan and a strong preference for shorts over suits. He keeps an office at City Hall, but it's pretty empty. He likes to be out and about conducting the city's business in person. Over the years, Green has been a proponent of growth, and when developers turned their attention to new subdivisions west of town, Green became the public face of a $500 million effort to redevelop the city's waterfront. He dreamed up a mix of condos, shops, and restaurants on the Halifax called the Port Orange Riverwalk.
Just look at the view. Look at that river. Tell me that's not a great view with the sun coming up in the morning.
But today, the Riverwalk is still a dream. Not a single high-rise has been built. After the housing collapse, land prices plummeted, developers pulled back, Riverwalk was shelved. In Florida, something that has been a selling point for the state has hurt places like Port Orange. Ken Small is with the Florida League of Cities.
We're one of very few states in the country that does not have an income tax.
That means cities and counties pay their bills with taxes they collect on property. Well, that worked well enough when home values were high, but since the housing bubble burst, municipalities have been struggling. Nearly half of all homeowners in this county owe more on their mortgages than their houses are worth.
And cities and counties have gone through tremendous budget cutting. And many of those cities still are showing their tax base is still shrinking.
Last year, Port Orange collected a third less money in taxes than it did 5 years earlier, $3.5 million less. City Hall is next to a pond with a fountain in the middle of a big park. This is another development Green oversaw. And he tells me that what's made the tax problem even worse are all the exemptions written into Florida law.
Nothing against veterans. They get veteran exemption.
There's also an exemption if your permanent residence is in Florida and if you're a senior. And in this community, a quarter of the population qualifies.
So if you do exemption, 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 they're not paying their way.
Green estimates 35% of Port Orange pays no taxes to the city.
That's not right. That is not right. There's a cost associated with the quality of life. You should pay your fair share of it.
Now, like other mayors in Florida, Green faces tough decisions. How to pay for city services, salaries for almost 400 full-time workers. Green says he always wanted to see Port Orange grow, but nowhere near as fast as it did. The town, he says, has lost its sense of community.
Big boxes are coming in. I'm not a big box fan.
The changes remind him of a song by country singer Alan Jackson called Little Man.
Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man.
Green likes that song so much, he buys extra CDs to give away. He gave us a copy. Green's world isn't much bigger than 26 square miles. The only election he cares about this year already happened. Green just won a fifth term. The last presidential candidate he voted for was Ronald Reagan. He backed Ron Paul in the primaries, and he's not enthusiastic about either President Obama or Mitt Romney. In many ways, development has been the economy of Port Orange, and Green doesn't think either candidate can help the city find an alternative.
The only thing we export in Port Orange is dead bodies, and our kids have to go somewhere else to get a decent job.
Port Orange used to be known as the oyster capital of the world, and Mayor Green wants it to be known for something again. In Port Orange, Florida, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.